Family! How's everybody doing? All right, I love everybody in this room, and I just want everybody to be so much closer. Come. Come to the altar. This is where the fun is, right? This is where the praise, this is where the breakthrough happens. So I know that you guys know this. We talk about it every single week. So everybody join us up at the altar. We're going to go into worship. I'm so excited to worship with you this morning. I know that God has something awesome in store. So, Jesus, I thank you that we get to come here and we get to glorify your name, and you always have something new for us. So God, I thank you that you are just going to meet us here. You're going to break chains today. You're going to work miracles today, that you still heal, God. And I thank you for the word today. I know that it's going to be amazing, and just it's going to be an awesome day in you, Lord. So I thank you for bringing us here, and I thank you for your worship. Can I hear somebody that's excited about Jesus?
Nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Yeah. My chains fell off, my heart was free.
I'm alive for you.
I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you.
For me.
My chains fell off. My heart was free. seated above, enthroned in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind, God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. Sinned, but suffered as if he did. Sing all authority, all authority, every victory is yours. All authority,
all authority.
Every victory.
It is
Break out in this place, heaven come. in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the spirit, I just see people that almost like I have a fog over top of them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just rebuke right now, Lord, any attack of the enemy in their life in Jesus' name. God, we take authority in the name of Jesus. God, we declare he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Jesus, we thank you that there is no weapon that is formed against us that shall prosper. God, no matter what way they come, they're going to flee in seven different directions. I thank you, Jesus, that you have set us firm on the rock. That's you. That, Jesus, no matter what the winds are, no matter how it blows, no matter how bad the storm is, there's one thing for sure, that when everything is said and done, we're still going to be standing on the rock, Christ Jesus. So, Father, we just rebuke any attack of the enemy in our lives in Jesus' name. Lord, if it deals with finances, God, if it deals with our family, God, if it deals, Lord, with our own emotions, Lord, if it deals with our health, we just rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name, and he must flee. Thank you, Christ. You gave us all authority over the power of the devil. And today we are not weak, but we are strong. So when heaven comes down, hell has to run. Amen. Father, we give you honor and praise. Can you give him praise right now for your breakthrough in your life? Hallelujah. We bless you, God. We bless you, God. I really sense in the spirit that today many of you are not baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. At the end of service, we're going to be laying hands on you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're going to believe some of you need more power. Shout, I need more power. That's right. It's called dunamis, supernatural power of heaven. It's not just surviving on your own capabilities, for it's not by might. Amen. It's by the Holy Ghost. And you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So today at the end of service, we'll be laying hands on folks for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. And I know that if you're hungering and thirsting, you shall be filled. You're going to walk out of here with a new prayer language. Amen. The devil's afraid of you when you speak in other tongues. Why is that? Because you're praying things he can't even figure out. Amen. Shifting atmospheres, changing situations, calling those things which are not by the Holy Ghost. So today, it's going to be a great day. Amen? I said amen. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to have a great day. Why don't you go meet five people you do not know and say, hey, this is going to be a great day in the kingdom. Come on, don't sit down. Go find somebody you don't know. Don't be a snob this morning. Come on, I know there's folks in here you've not met. Come on, don't be a snob. Make sure you go say hello to them this morning. If you're online, make sure you call somebody and tell them, hey, you need to watch with us this morning. It'll be a great word from God.
behind you and say, good morning, you look just marvelous today.
The chasm was far too high.
Maybe you weren't sure what to say, I just helped you. Praise the Lord.
Are you excited this Sunday morning to be in the presence of God? I am. The worship was amazing, and we are getting ready to hear an awesome word from the Lord this morning. We want to welcome you to His Tabernacle Family Church this morning. If you are a first-time guest who has never, ever been to His Tabernacle before, will you please raise your hand? We want to welcome you. Our greeters, and look at all the first-time guests. Oh, my gosh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, I can't even count them all. Welcome, everyone. We're so happy to have you here with us on this beautiful Sunday morning. God bless you. We want to let you know that for all of our first-time guests, did I miss anybody on this side? For all of our first-time guests, we have a guest reception right after the service. In the hallway on that side, we want you to come and have some coffee and snacks and meet the staff and pastors of His Tabernacle Family Church. So make sure, don't forget about that. Come to the guest reception after the service. We want to welcome our online guests. Thank you so much for being with us today. You are brilliant for tuning in and joining us. You are our family, and we love you, and we thank you for joining us this morning. God bless every single one of you for being here. We have a couple of announcements for things that are coming up. Next weekend is Memorial Day weekend, the official or unofficial start of summer. We're all excited for the motorcycle blessing. This is the 16th annual, and we will have probably about 150 motorcycles here on Saturday morning coming to get their bikes blessed. And going on a ride. And so if you'll keep that in prayer, and if anybody's available, we're still welcoming volunteers to help out with prep on Friday and set up an execution on Saturday. We also have the Memorial Day parades on Monday. We want everybody to come out and support our local community at the parades. They are in Elmira and Horseheads, and the details are in your bulletin. And if any one of you is a veteran or even active in the military, we would love for you to join us and walk in uniform to honor our country and to honor Jesus during the parade. So if you are available and you still fit in your uniform, if you don't fit in your uniform, just wear one of your hats and sign up with Chad Spencer to participate in that. We have started our annual baby bottle drives. Many of you saw a whole bunch of baby bottles in the foyer. We participate with the Southern Tier Pregnancy Resource Center, and it is just simply a fundraiser that we want to support the local ministries. And so if you take a baby bottle home and fill it up with change or cash or a check or any type of donation for the Southern Tier Pregnancy Resource Center, bring that bottle back by Father's Day. So you can just set it on your counter and throw your loose change in there. And when it's full, just bring it back. And that's a way that we support our local community and other ministries in our area. And then the last announcement that I have is a reminder that the worship team auditions are on Saturday, June 3rd. And I know that many of you have awesome gifts. You can sing, you can play an instrument, and God is tugging on your heart to participate with the worship team. So make sure that you sign up by emailing worship@histabernacle.com or calling the church office Monday through Thursday. And next we have Pastor Rhonda.
Can I just say, Pastor and I absolutely love all of you so much. It is such a privilege to be able to pastor such an awesome, awesome group of people. Whenever we have visitors come in, they look at the building and they're wowed by all the stuff. And I always tell them, wait, the best part is when you get to meet the people, because you are the best part. And so we as pastors get to hear your testimonies all the time, and it is so incredibly exciting to see that God is moving powerfully and doing the impossible every single day. So we want to make sure we bring that to you. So this is Samantha, and she has a powerful testimony to share with you this morning.
Good morning. So, wow, I really wasn't prepared for this. But so my testimony is a twofold. About this time last year, I went to Women's Encounter. And if you haven't signed up, you need to sign up. That's all I'm going to have to say about that. I didn't know what God was actually preparing me for when I went to Women's Encounter until after the fact. So last year in June, after Women's Encounter, I went through a huge spiritual attack against my character and against who I am. And I was accused of some really awful things, and I lost my job. But God, we never lacked financially. My family never wanted for nothing. He completely took care of us the entire time. I had to go through a hearing. I won the hearing. I ended up having to go through it without a lawyer because they told me that they couldn't postpone it for my lawyer. So I went and I was like, okay, God, you've got this. I'm doing it with you. So I won the hearing. My previous employer fought the hearing. She fought the decision that went in my favor. So it went to an appeal board. The appeal board went in her favor. And I was like, what? No. Like, thanks to a couple of people in the church that I called, and they were like, okay, here's some scripture. So I started speaking scripture over it. I knew who I was. I knew what Pastor Rhonda had prepared me for at the Women's Encounter. I'm like, this is not my portion. God, this is you. So I sent in a letter stating that I wanted a hearing, and I get a letter in the mail stating that they've withdrawn their decision for her favor. So it went back in my favor, and I owe them nothing, which would have been $5,000. So with that, I also told Pastor Rhonda that I'm willing to cede $100 to the next woman who decides that she wants to go to the Women's Encounter, because I truly, truly believe in what happens there. And if you haven't gone, hear my heart, you need to go.
Amen. Our God is so faithful, isn't he? Samantha and her family, they're faithful tithers. They're faithful to the house of God. They serve in the house of God. And therefore, as Pastor said, when the storms come through, when you're standing on that solid rock, you will still be standing at the end of the storm and in favor and blessed and prosperous. So this morning, as we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, we enter into kingdom finances. Can I just say, I love this time because I have such a mother's heart for training in finances. I want to see my children successful in their finances. So from even a young age, at their very first jobs where they earned money, I taught them the principles of tithing. So it would be a shame if we were disciplined and consistent in all areas of our life and business and job and getting up every morning and going to work and paying our bills and neglect what we ought to do according to the Word of God, and that is our tithe. The Word of God says to bring the whole tithe, which is 10% of your income, to the storehouse, because first of all, He owns everything. He's given you the breath. He's given you the ability. He's given you the talents. He's given you everything to be able to make finances, and He asks only for 10% in return. So while we're being good stewards with our businesses, with our lives, with our homes. Make sure that we're being good stewards in the thing that is the most weightiest in the kingdom of God. So make sure you're tithing and giving and entering into kingdom principles of finance. Because when you enter into kingdom principles, it adds something to all that natural work that you do, all that hard work. It adds supernatural favor and blessing that we've heard testimony after testimony. You see God show up when you enter into kingdom finances. That's where I want my money, where it can be worked supernaturally, where it cannot be explained how that happened, how she could be still blessed and consistent through that whole time of not working. Favor of God. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. This is the word of God according to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it says, and in this house, we just repeat the word of God. So if you'll repeat after me, and then we bring our offerings to the Lord. We want you to willfully and joyfully bring your offerings to the Lord. Deuteronomy 28 says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. You can also text to give. If you're watching live stream, click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Nothing's gonna hold me back.
Praise the Lord. Turn to someone and say, I sure love Jesus this morning. I do. Don't you love Jesus? We are so blessed in this church. I'll be honest with you. Can I just give you a quick testimony? I want to give God praise. 2 weeks ago, we had 750 people in the house. And then we had another, I think that week, almost 300 online on a Sunday morning. Last Sunday, we had 790 people in-house, amen, and another 150 people online,
And what many people don't know is on Tuesdays, we bus in another 150-plus children under the age of 12, and then we bus in right up to 100 children between 12 and 18 on Thursdays. So I want you to turn to someone and say, I thank God for you. Well, why are we thanking God for you? Because without you, it could not happen. So many of you are great workers in the kingdom of God, and maybe you've never been a worker in the kingdom. Maybe you've only come and taken. And today I want to challenge you to be a giver. And I'm not talking your money, I'm talking your time, sowing into other people's lives. What an awesome opportunity. There are children every single Wednesday that just need love. Some of these kids, and maybe you don't know, some of these children that we bus in, literally, they go home and their parents are smoking weed. They go home and their parents are drunk. They get up the next morning and there's some guy new in the bed. This is not an abnormal adventure with the young people that we're bringing into this church every Tuesday and Wednesday. And what a great opportunity we have to change a generation. I was talking to the mayor of Elmira months and months ago about the generation that is just above them. And that I'm talking like right in the vicinity of 20 to 30, 35 area. And many of those young people are very difficult to reach. And I said, we've got to reach this generation. And he said, the only way that we can do this, Pastor, is if we target the younger children and get them to where they'll have some moral value. And I want to thank God for the mayor of Elmira, and some of our legislators, who have actually helped serve these children on Wednesdays. They serve them food. They take care of them. It's not just coming to church. We are truly changing a generation, and I believe that this is why we're here. Turn to someone and say, this is why you're here. We're not here to suck air. We're not here just to go to church, to have a few babies, live in a home, and go die somewhere. But you and I are here to make a footprint. I just believe that it's time to kick the devil in the head, amen? And let him know he can't have our children. He can't have the generations, that God has a great plan for them, amen? So I believe in America. And like Brother Ted says, America shall be saved. This is the year of we are. Turn to someone and say, I thank God you're generous. That's right. Generosity is in your heart. It has nothing to do with your pocket, has nothing to do with anything else but your heart. Because when you're generous in your heart, you're generous in every portion of your life. We started a series called the Why Series. And the Why Series, we started because there are so many people coming up and saying, why? Turn to someone and say, why? Why? There are so many churches that won't answer the whys. I believe we need to answer the whys. We've answered a few of them. Why God doesn't answer our prayers. How many did that help you? How about, what was the other one? Why bad things happen to good people? How many of you that helped you? What was the one a few weeks ago? That was 2 weeks ago. What was last week? Why are mothers... No. Why doesn't our moral opinion matter? That was a good one, wasn't it? To realize there are always absolutes. Where there are no absolutes, there's only anarchy and confusion. Today I want to answer a question that I've heard I've been doing ministry now for 30 years, full-time in pastoring. And this is one I've heard. Why is there so much gossip in church? Woo, come on, can anybody else say amen? How many of you know at least one person that's walked away from God or walked away from church because of gossip? How many of you, somebody's used that excuse, well, there's so much gossip in church, I'm just not going. We've heard. You know what? I want you to recognize that gossip is never from the Lord. That's one of you said amen. I said gossip is never from God. Gossip should never be in the church. Gossip should never be in the church. In fact, we have a no gossip policy here at His Tabernacle Family Church. I don't know if you know that or not.
But we have a no gossip policy. We've had it since the very beginning. We believe that somebody should be able to walk in that door, and we've had them. We've had some of the largest drug dealers in Elmira walk in the back doors of these church. And people came up to me and said, did you know who's in church? And I said, nope. But all I know is Jesus is here, and Jesus can change anybody. Can I hear an amen? Some person came up, gave their heart to the Lord one time, and somebody said, man, if you only knew where they were. And I said, but if they only knew where you were. Fact is that we all have sin in our life that we need to be cleansed from. Amen? Anybody the perfect one, please stand to your feet so we can stone you. There is nobody perfect. We've all got issues. How many of you got an issue? Someone just lied. That's yours. That's all right. How many of you got two issues? How many of you know your spouse has more than you? Why is... Hands are up everywhere. It's a dangerous church service. Hallelujah. I do want to give a shout out real quickly. I know that Russia is watching this morning. And I know that we have usually in Saudi Arabia they watch, and down in Mexico they watch. So I want to thank God for all the live streamers this morning. Thank you so much. If you're a local live streamer, if you're a local live streamer, now if your legs are broken and you can't walk, we'll send someone to get you. You need healing. But if you're a local live streamer and you're just, I don't want to say it out loud, if you're just lazy, you need to get to the house of God. Can I hear an amen? Okay, enough of that. Let's move on. So why is there so much gossip in the church? I gave this story the last time I preached about this message, but it made me chuckle this morning, so I have to repeat it. Mildred, the church gossip and self-appointed arbiter of the church's morals, kept sticking her nose into other people's private matters. Does anybody know anybody like that? Church members were unappreciative of her activities, but feared her enough to maintain their silence. She made a mistake, however, when she accused George, a new member, that he was an alcoholic, because she saw his pickup truck parked in front of the town's only bar one afternoon. She commented to George and others that everyone seeing it there would know what he was really doing. George, a man of few words, stared at her for a moment and just walked away. He didn't even defend himself or deny it. He just said nothing. Later that evening, George took his pickup truck and quietly parked up in front of Mildred's house and left his truck there all night long. Whoops, saith the Lord. Come on, we all know Mildred. Man, you know if you say something to Mildred, it goes everywhere. I used to get my hair cut at a location. And I used to get my hair cut there because if I wanted everybody in the community to know something, I would just have to say it. And it would go everywhere. The problem is that so many people have been driven out of church, have literally walked away from God because of gossip within the church. Now, if that's you, I want to address you real quickly. Maybe you're watching by live stream. Maybe you're going to be watching by television. And I want to address you very quickly, just saying this to you. Even though it is true that you were wounded, you cannot use that as an excuse when you stand before God. It doesn't work. It doesn't matter what anybody else has done to you. It doesn't matter what anybody has said to you. Your obedience, your walk with God is more important than what anybody else has said or done. And it is imperative that you guard yourself against hurt, that you guard yourself against wounds. My wife wrote a book on this. It says, No More Hurt. You can get it right in the foyer. You need that book if you've been wounded in church, and that's why you've walked away. And I just want you to know, if gossip has driven you out of the church, it's time for you to come home, because gossip will always be in a church, because there are always people. Turn to somebody and say, I think you're a people. See, you're the one at fault right there. I saw you. Gossip is the most deadly microbe. It has neither legs nor wings. It is composed entirely of tails. Most of them have stingers. The only time people don't like gossip is when it's about them. Good old Will Rogers wrote that one. Galatians chapter 5, the Bible makes a declaration. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. James chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast or lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there. I want you to know that gossip is evil. It is demonic. It has a demon spirit that works powerfully with this thing called gossip and backbiting. Now, we like to just look at it as, well, I didn't murder anybody, but maybe you have. The Bible says if you hate your brother, you've already committed murder. You see, many people with their words, the power of life and death are in the tongue, that when we speak, we can create death in somebody's life. The power of words are so intense that God has only given one creature on this planet the ability to speak words. It is those that were created in his very image. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God called those things with words that were not as though they already were. You see, God has given you and I the capability of forming words, and those words have power. And we've got to get back to realizing that with the words that we speak, the gossip it is coming out of your mouth, it literally has diabolical force. Now, I want to show you this biblically because I believe it is imperative for us to realize it is not just a little sin, but it is a devastating sin. It might not be shooting somebody. It might not be stabbing somebody. I'm just talking about Elmira that happened all last night. It's not that, but you're saying, listen. If you're a gossiper, if you're a whisperer, if you're a backbiter, it is as deadly, diabolical, and demonic as all the other things that we would call big sins. And it all has the same consequence. For the wages of sin is. But we always try to pacify our own sin by placating ourselves to believe that we're not saying anything bad. Listen, what is gossip? Gossip is a rumor or even a truth. Well, you know, I'm just speaking the truth. You've heard people say, I'm just telling the truth. But who cares about your opinion? Why do you think your opinion is so important? That you've got to share somebody else's life. Ooh, come on now. I can't hear anybody this morning. All those who've been gossiped against should be saying amen. All the gossipers should be hiding under the chair, glory to God, asking Jesus for forgiveness. Gossip can be true. So when does it become gossip and when does it just be sharing the truth? It becomes gossip when you're sharing information about somebody that it has nothing to do with them about. They can't fix it. They can't have impact with it. Therefore, you're just sharing information with them that does nothing for them positive. In fact, what we have learned is that nobody is more powerful than gossip. It's amazing to me all the different things that have been spoken about my wife and I. You know, we really have never done anything but really been a blessing to our community. But yet, they've said some horrific things about my wife and I. My wife just had somebody come to her and ask her forgiveness. She spoke locally. And a lady said that she wanted to ask forgiveness because she went around, she came to one service. And when she came to one service, we had a guest speaker. And the guest speaker... 15 years ago, by the way, and the guest speaker said, if you give a certain amount of money, then I'm going to pray for you. And they left. That was the only service they were ever at. So for the last 15 years, she's been going around to everybody, don't go to that church. All they want is your money. For 15 years, she's been gossiping. For 15 years, her words have been penetrating individuals and turning them away from some of them, maybe the destiny that God had foreordained for them. You see, the power of words and the reality that you and I cannot overcome when gossip comes into our life is real. If somebody comes up to you and says, well, you know, somebody so-and-so and such has done this, and you never would have thought of them as doing that. And now every time you come into their presence, you know what happens? The very first thought that comes to your mind is, I wonder if they did it. The gossip is so powerful. We have got to be people, the people of God especially, have got to be people that give life and not death. Jesus said, the word of God declares that no evil communication, no corrupt communication should come out of our mouth. What is corrupt? Corrupt is twisted. Corrupt is sewage. Corrupt is nastiness. Don't ever allow someone to vomit in your lap. Gossip is vomit. And we've got to repel these things. Why? Because number one, it's against the word of God. Number two, it hurts people. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13 says this. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house. Not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to say. That's called Facebook today. Some of you got to get off Facebook. I'd love to name your name from the pulpit. Honestly, I'd love to just to take your computer away from you and say, duh. What is wrong with you? Why do you sit on there and just spew? Some of you might be you and you're watching by live stream. You've got to get this out of your life. Why? Because gossip destroys people. Gossip wounds people. Gossip is never from God. And why in the world is something so evil, so diabolical, permeating the majority of churches? Why? Because the people do not realize how powerful gossip is and who they're actually working for. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says this, for the accuser of our brethren, who has accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. You see, when gossip comes into your life, you're actually being used by the devil to work on his behalf. It's amazing when we realize, less than 3 months, it's amazing, I watch, what are you going to do, you know what I mean? It rings. It's amazing when you realize that when you gossip, you're actually working for the diabolical world. It is a sad adventure to recognize that in your life, when you allow these words to slip through your tongue, when you allow these words to part your lips, when you allow this venom to come out of your mouth, when you allow these secrets that should not be sown, when you allow these things to come forth, what you're actually doing is you're saying, Satan, let me work for you to help to destroy somebody. For we know the works of the devil are to steal, kill, and destroy. And what does gossip do? It steals a person's reputation. It kills them in their heart, and it destroys the very hope that they have in life. We all know, how many of you have ever had somebody gossip about you? How many of you had somebody gossip something that wasn't true? And you sat back and said, how in the world, where'd they get that from? How many of you had somebody gossip about something that was true? And it was like, couldn't they have just been quiet? I would have gotten through this thing. I would have made it through if they had not have sat up there and gossiped a truth. You see, when you share information with somebody that it has nothing to do with them, it is a sin. Boy, you're awful quiet this morning. So why? Turn to somebody and say, why? Tell somebody else, why? Why do people gossip? You see, you know, my wife and I, we were at, I forget which store, we were at a supermarket the other day. And you know how they have all the magazines? What's it? Yeah, we were at a supermarket. I think the one in town. We have no food in our house. I just want you to know that. It's not that we're poor. But my wife, we used to live near Meniere's, so my wife would shop every day. Now, let's move on. Okay. That's information you have no need to work with. All right. So we're at the supermarket, and while we're at the supermarket, I look as we're going through checkout, and there's all the magazines. The National Enquirer is still living. Somebody was abducted by aliens. Again. It's amazing when you realize how people love gossip. We feed on gossip. It's almost like an addiction to hear somebody else's business. Why is that? Why? Because the Bible says that envy and self-seeking, there are some people that gossip because they're envious of your life. Some people gossip about you and try to destroy, malign you because they look at you and they're envious of your peace. They're envious of your joy. They're envious of your family. They're envious of your walk with God. They're envious and they look at you and they're so self-seeking that they'll say anything to destroy you. Why? Because if they can destroy you, they'll feel better about themselves. You see, I'm one that when someone starts doing that, I get a little aggressive with them. Because, number one, maybe they don't know. But number two, if they don't know, they're going to know real soon. Another reason that people gossip is because they've lost the vision. This is the number one problem in the body of Christ. As my wife was preaching last week, she was saying how we have been attuned as people on this in America to be entertained. How our lives are surrounded by entertainment. We go to the movies. We pay some money. We go to the movies. We go home. We flick on the tube. I already said theater. We go do all these activities. We so love to be entertained. And then we come to church. And the Bible says that we are what? We are the body of Christ. Turn to someone and say, you're my finger. Turn to somebody else and say, you're my eye. The Bible says that we are the body of Christ, that we are fitly formed together, that you and I, we are one in the body of Christ. Yes, we're diverse, but diversity is what brings strength, and that in our uniqueness that God has created us in, when we all put our hand to the plow, the body works with fluidity, and we're able to get the work of God accomplished. But what happens with many churches, and why gossip is so prevalent, is because the majority of Christians do not work in the body of Christ. The majority of believers are not putting their hand to the plow. The majority of believers are not working in the kingdom. They're allowing their body to remain stagnant and dead and paralyzed, their portion, their limb, their giftings, their honor. They sit back as vessels of honor and they dishonor by not giving to the kingdom of God. And you see, when you are bored, gossip becomes a normal part of your life. I always say this, when there's a church saturated with gossip, it is because the people are too bored. See, you have been created for such a time as this. You have been created for this moment in history. You are not an accident. You do not live, listen, I hate Elmira. Will you be quiet? You're here because God's got a purpose for you. When you get done your purpose, then you can move. You can't escape your destiny. Sometime it's going to come right back. You got to go back where you started. Listen, if you leave the vision and you start moving in another direction, you're still going to have to come back to there to have peace again. You see, when you and I recognize our call, when you and I recognize our portion, when you and I recognize our gifts, when we put our hand to the plow, we're so busy we don't have time to gossip. Have you ever gone to work before and while you're at work, I mean, you're just so busy. How many of you like it when you go to work and there's nothing to do? It's like your day, like an hour is 20. Like a minute, you sit there and stare at the clock. How long can a minute feel? I love doing weddings because I love torturing the bride and the groom. What I do at the bride and groom is I'll make them stand when they're doing the candle or something like that, and I'll make them wait for a whole minute, and it feels like forever. It is so much fun. Why? Because a minute when you don't have anything to do, when everything is just waiting on you, it seems like forever. And you've gone to work before, and it's been so busy that all of a sudden 8 hours is gone. You didn't even take lunch. You were so busy, man, and you would rather have a day that is filled and packed and busy than a day that is drolsome and drawn out and laborious because there's nothing to do. You see, when there's nothing to do, people try to find things to do. That's what the Word is saying. They become idle. So then they start going from house to house or Facebook page to Facebook page. When you got so much time that you can run around Facebook for a half hour, you got too much time. Oh, it's quiet. As a believer, as a child of God, with the gifts that are within you, when you and I, this is why churches are filled with gossip, because 10% of the people are doing 90% of the work in the majority of churches. And I thank God that's not that way here. Can I hear an amen? But there are still over 50% in this house that do nothing for the kingdom of God. You do no work in God's kingdom. And what happens is, that's an easy way to be drawn into gossip. It's an easy way to be drawn into idleness. It's an easy way to be drawn into not fulfilling the very purpose and the destiny of your life. You see, when you invest in something, you have interest in something. And when somebody tries to come and destroy it, you stand against it. You see, every church is going to have some gossip because there are people. But how many of you know there's a difference between an artery and a capillary? An artery is the main pusher of blood through your body. If your artery gets severed, how long does it take? Do I have a nurse available? How long does it take if you have a main artery that is severed? 3 minutes. That's it. Goodbye. But how many of you have ever broken a capillary? Gotten a bruise? Did you die? Whew. Why didn't you die? Because it wasn't the main artery, but it was a capillary. You see, the church will always have capillaries. There are always going to have to be people that are going to need to be addressed. Because from their flesh, it was a normal part of their lifestyle to tell everybody else's business. But you see, when they get into the kingdom of God, there must be a shift and a change. Why? Because God hates gossip. God is against gossip. God is for you. God is not against you. He is your greatest cheerleader. He wants to say, go on, baby. I've got the best for you, abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. Not survival, not just limping by, but God wants to excel you. And this is why gossip is so demonic and diabolical in its very root. Because gossip takes the legs out from underneath, where the heart of God makes your legs fly. You've got to watch your mouth. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You see, so when you're not busy in church, when you're not doing anything in the kingdom, it's too easy to be idle. Well, I just have time to go. Well, listen, if you have nothing to invest spiritually, you have no time to invest spiritually in the God's kingdom, then you've got to wonder what you're investing your time in, and that's going to give you eternal value. There's always something. I love our parking lot team. A lady recently said, the reason I came back to that church is because somebody in the parking lot waved at me. They were nice to me. We have great parking lot folk. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Well, that's not ministry. Yes, it is. How many of you saw the flowers at the top of the driveway? That's a ministry. We have ladies that go out there and make sure that it's beautified. How many of you like it when there are dandelions aren't 6 feet tall that you can't see yourself through? We have gentlemen that go out and mow our lawn every single week. They mow it. Sometimes they have to mow it twice a week. In fact, Josiah was telling me just the other day, he had to mow the lawn for the first time in 6 years. This last 2 weeks ago. It's amazing to realize, listen, well, you know, I saw somebody, shaking my hand at the front. That's ministry. Sharing the love of Jesus is ministry. It doesn't have to be that you're running up behind a pulpit and preaching the gospel. Ministry is just as powerful. In fact, let's be real. There are preachers that will get less rewards in heaven than the person cleaning the toilet. Because it's all about the heart. It's not about the show. Oh, come on now. Can I hear an amen? And when nobody's busy in the kingdom, when there's gossip in the church, it means that people are too idle. What are you doing in the kingdom? What are you doing for Jesus? Only the things that are done for Christ will last. You are the body of Christ. You have a gift. Your gift might be just shaking a hand and you're saying that doesn't mean much. Yes, it does. It changes a life. It might be cleaning the toilet. How many of you have ever gone to a toilet that has not been cleaned? Jesus, help us all. I used to work at Dunkin' Donuts. I didn't work at Dunkin' Donuts. I worked at Mr. Donuts. And I worked the midnight to 6 shift. How many of you remember Mr. Donuts? I'm from New England, so I'm not from here. So I'm not talking around here. I'm talking way up in Gardner, Massachusetts. Here I go a midnight to 6 shift. And it wasn't just, you know, you didn't make the donuts. The donut guy came in at like 3 a.m., started snorting his cocaine first, and then he mixed what was remained into the dough and cooked it. Well, that wasn't God's. That's just, that was really quick. That was good, actually. It's a tough sermon today. But here it is, you know, all of a sudden, I go to the bathroom to clean it. I had to clean it at like 4 a.m. after the drunks came in at 2. Got great tips, though, when the drunks came in. So here I go to the bathroom, and somebody missed the toilet. I'm talking like it was sprayed all over the back of the wall. The toilet was full. There was urine on the floor. I don't know how they missed putting the toilet paper in that big bowl. The aroma was stimulating. Challenging. Spurring. Go quick. I don't even know why I said all that, but it had a point. So let's just move on. I think I just really love hearing my wife in the background. That's just awful. That's just awful. You ready? If Jesus was standing right here, right now, what would he say to you? And I think that is really how I love to preach the gospel, because my opinion really doesn't matter. Your opinion really doesn't matter. What matters is what Christ is saying. I do want you to know, as I'm saying this, my mind is trying to figure out why I was in that toilet realm. Here we go. Here's what Jesus would say to you. Psalms 105, verse 5. I put a gag on the gossip who badmouths his neighbor. Proverbs 16, verse 28. Troublemakers start fights. Gossips break up friendships. Romans 1, 29 through 30, 32. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Proverbs 20, verse 19. Gossips can't keep secrets, so never confide in a blabbermouth. That's what Jesus would say. Proverbs 26, verse 20. When you run out of wood, the fire goes out. When the gossip ends, the quarrel dies down. Proverbs 26, verse 22. Listening to a gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you want junk like that in your belly? Listen, we've all participated with gossip. How many of you hate gossip? Turn to someone and say, I did it. Every one of us in this room have participated with gossip. Every one of us in this room have hurt somebody through gossip. How many of you know you've hurt somebody when you gossiped? Everybody. How many of you yourself hate gossip? How many of you have been wounded by gossip? See, this is the truth. And this is where every one of us have got to come down to our own accountability. Why is there so much gossip in church? It's simple. Number one, because people are working for the enemy. They might not know it, but that's exactly what they're doing. Some people participate with gossip. Why? Because they want to feel better about themselves and try to tear somebody else down. Why do some people participate with gossip? It's because, listen, they're so bored, the only thing they know what to do is to meddle in other people's business. Turn to someone and say, please mind your own business. Some people gossip because they've got to deflect their own issues. They know they're messed up, but it's easier to have somebody else's mess up be brighter than theirs. Well, you know so-and-so, but what about you? Well, you know, they did this, but what did you do? Listen, it's so easy to take away our responsibility and our issue and our problem by focusing on somebody else's issue and somebody else's problem. But the Lord just wants you to recognize that he wants to clean you up. All your gossip can't fix anybody else. Anyways, can I hear an amen or oh my? We need to fix ourselves. We need to be responsible for our own life. We need to have the Holy Spirit get into our life and say, listen, this needs to come out. But many people, they gossip because if they keep putting everybody else's problems, then no one's going to look at theirs. You know, it's time to bring change to your life. And if you're a gossiper, it's time to repent. What's repent mean? It means you're going this way. Repent. Oh, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. Now, it's not that tomorrow you're going to be perfect, but you've got to make a decision that gossip is not going to be part of your life, that gossip is not the heart of God, that gossip is not the will of Jesus, that gossip is a sin, and I refuse to go meddle in somebody else's vomit. I refuse to go meddle in somebody else's junk. I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm going to put my hand to the plow, and I'm not going to look back, and I'm going to get so busy for Jesus, I don't have time to talk about somebody else. I'm going to do God's will till I die. Can I hear an amen or oh my? And then there's one more thing. When you have a gossip in your life, sometimes you have to make a real decision to step away from them. You got to make a decision that their friendship is not worth your torment. I have stepped away from many gossips. I've actually asked many people to leave this church. What? You ask people to leave the church? Absolutely. I remember within the first year I had a woman, she just wouldn't, it's not just women, it's men too. This woman, she just wouldn't keep her mouth shut. She constantly went behind everyone's back and was telling everybody else somebody else's business. And I went to her, and this is our gossip policy at His Tabernacle. When we catch you gossiping, we're going to be sweet and nice because maybe you've never been educated. Listen, you don't gossip here. This is not allowed here. If you want to gossip, maybe there's a street down the church that allows it, but this house doesn't, because we want people to come in this place that can go anywhere and know that God's forgiveness is available for them. Can I hear an amen? So we're going to say, hey, listen, be nice and, you know, stop gossiping. Now, if you continue to gossip at his tabernacle, I lose a little bit of niceness. And I'm going to say, listen, I just want to be very clear to you. That is not allowed. And if you continue with what you're doing, you're not going to be able to come back. Well, I thought church was open to everyone, not to you. There's another church that will allow you there. But in this house, we've got to make it so that whoever walks in these doors will feel that they can walk in these doors and not have everybody backbiting them from behind. Can I hear an amen? There has to be a place. There has to be a place. There has to be a safe place. And the house of God should be a safe place to come and to get your life right. But if it's filled with gossips, then everybody just wants to share your old mess. The last stage of the gossip is I just simply go to them and say, may God bless between me and thee. If you need help finding a church, I'll help you. What? You're asking me not to return? Exactly. That lady, man, she was so mad. She went out, she gossiped about me for about 6 months. But you see, I'm okay with someone gossip about me. You don't want to know why? Because I know who I am. I know who and the God that I serve. And when you're clean inside, can I hear an amen? You got a good conscience. It doesn't matter what anybody else says anyways. But the point comes down to is she found another church and she still gossips. God bless her. She just can't be God blessed in here. Can I hear an amen or am I? Today I want you to know the reason why there's so much gossip in church is because the majority, they're not doing anything for Christ. They're doing nothing for Jesus. And if you're doing nothing for Jesus, then you've got to ask yourself a question. Well, we always say, remember mom and dad said to you, idle hands are the devil's workshop. It's true. When you're not doing anything for Jesus, it's too easy to get idle. And when you get idle, then you get bored. When you get bored, then you got to find something that will stimulate you. Most people are stimulated by somebody else's mess. Can I hear an amen? So if you don't want gossip in your life, and you don't want to give it, then you got to get busy. Can I hear an amen? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I'm excited because I know that Jesus Christ loves you so very much. He longs for you to be successful in every event of your life. Some of you, this is the very first time you've ever been in this church, and you came because of this message. You came because you've always known that there's a lot of gossip. I want you to know that we have a capillary here, but there are no arteries here. We keep the pulse of the house. Because we refuse to allow the demonic to run rampant when there should be peace and safety in the body of Christ. There's no perfect church. But the way to have a more perfect church is for each one of us individually who are the church. Remember, you're the church. This is just a building. To remind ourselves that I will not participate with gossip in my life. If you make that decision, this is what's going to happen. They're going to come to you and they're going to start gossiping. And you're going to look at them and say, hey, I don't do that. Well, what do you mean I don't do that? I don't participate with gossip. That has nothing to do with me. You know what? They're only going to come to you once. If you're a person that everybody comes and gossips to, it's because your trash can is open. You can't put anything in a trash can that has a lock on it. Look at them and tell them, I don't do this, I don't participate, and you shouldn't either. When the church folks come and say, well, you know, if you know, so-and-so did such and such, we just need to pray for them. You look at them and say, pray for yourself. Listen, this is when you get aggressive. You don't be nice to this person. I'm never nice to these people. because sometimes they need that shock value. They need to realize that this kills people. Today, maybe you've been wounded. Maybe you've been killed. Maybe you've had somebody gossiping about you that is devastating. Jesus today wants to heal your heart. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, He wants to wash your sins away. Today, if you would like Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I'd like you to raise your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the building? Thank you very much on that side. Thank you, both of you. I appreciate that. God's going to change your life. Is there anyone else this morning? You'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm not going to wait long. I'm going to count down. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3. Thank you, sir. 2. Last call. Thank you, young lady. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. 1. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm so proud of those. Can you give those who raise their hand a hand clap this morning? We're so proud that they want to receive Christ. Could I have the prayer team come to the front of the altar, please? The prayer team's here because they want to pray with you, minister to you, encourage you. If you have a need in your life, you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues. Where's Chad Spencer and Randall Ribble? I need you both right here in the front right now as quickly as possible. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues, I want you to come right here. If you raise your hand for salvation, you want to give your heart to the Lord, I want to ask you to be brave and grab the person next to you and come on down front, meet me right here. The Bible says, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. So this morning, if you raise your hand for salvation, I'd like you to come right out of your seat, meet me right up front. Come on, give them a hand clap as they come. Right up front. Be brave, be brave, be brave. This is your moment. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for your bravery. I know there's other folks. You raise your hand. Come on. Come on. Grab the person next to you. Come right out. Come on. Come on. Amen. This is your moment. I'm proud of you, man. If you raise your hand, you just didn't. It's hard to muster it up. When we end service, make sure you make your way right over to Mindy. Are you ready? Father, I release a blessing on the house in the name of Jesus. I declare that gossip is not allowed in this house, your house. This is not our church, this is your church. So we declare that it is not allowed, that there is freedom and peace and safety at His Tabernacle Family Church in the name of Jesus. Bless each one as they go. Bring somebody else next week for the glory of God. And everybody said, next week, why does the church always ask for money? That's a topic. Why does the church always ask for money? Be blessed. Have a great day.